The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Spain, Italy, France, had your flights booked for a holiday abroad and you're not sure what your rights are right now? Well, Owen Curry, editor of Air and Travel magazine, is on the line to talk to us about the new rules. Owen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. I hope we know what the new rules are because they seem to be changing by the day.
They change by the day. Well, let's talk about the idea of getting refunds and repayments, because I'm sure a lot of people will be calling in on that front first.
Absolutely.
Has anything changed there, or anyone who deserves a refund because their flight didn't go, will they eventually get cash if they want it?
Eventually get cash seems to be the scenario. The rules never changed. EU 261 applies, but and the Package Holiday Directive, which goes through travel agents and tour operators. That means you get your cash back and there's a time limit on that. Obviously, what happened, Pat, was events overtook the legislation and listeners will need no introduction to the parade of airlines across Europe going into governments telling them that they're due to go bankrupt and please give us money. Where that translates to somebody who has paid for a flight this summer is they were getting mixed communications depending on the airline saying, can you please rebook or can you take a voucher from us? But the law never changed. You're entitled to a full refund. What has happened last Friday is the Department of Transport has communicated to travel agents and tour operators that a credit note can be issued to customers. And this is valid for 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, you can get a full refund for the money that you've paid. It's not ideal from a consumer point of view because a lot of people's household circumstances have changed and they need money back quite more quickly. But it's better than what...
Okay, so it effectively it buys 6 months for the tour operator or the travel agent. It buys them 6 months. And then if in the event they go bust in the meantime, is there a state guarantee?
State guaranteed. Once you're with a travel agent, your money is absolutely safe. The big question is that every single travel agent in the country would have gone bankrupt. They have no new bookings coming in. Everything they've taken over the last 6 months would have to be paid out in cash. Anybody running a small business up and down the length and breadth of the country would know how that works. A hotel or a restaurant can close down. A travel agent stays open to facilitate existing clients, and all the existing clients are looking for money back. Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about what will happen to us if we fly. I mean, Ryanair, we know, are going to be launching 1,000 flights a day from the beginning of July, and they'll have new rules. Aer Lingus are going to have similar sort of rules. So what are they? What is the new flying experience?
Very simple. Wearing masks on board, less contact, no contact at all if it can be avoided. That comes to things like check-in, desk. And also, it means that things like that we wear the norm, like priority boarding, that's gone. And really important, bringing that cabin bag on board, doing everything they can to avoid that. Normally, you have to pay to check in a bag. That won't apply for cabin bags for both Ryanair and Aer Lingus. The idea is speed up the process of boarding and deplaning because it's going to be done in small groups, called by seafloor.
Okay, so it'll be rows 1 to 4 can deplane now, and heretofore you have people fussing about their overhead lockers and the bags and the pucks and all the bits and pieces. There'll be no newspapers on board, so all you'll have at most up in the overhead locker will be a jacket and maybe a handbag or a laptop. That's all you'll have. Otherwise, everything will be in the hold. So it means that getting off the plane should be a much smoother kind of thing. Take a bit longer because it'll be done in groups, but that's the way. No fussing with the overhead lockers.
The announcements are all being re-recorded as we speak, or some of them are already in place. And this ancient tradition we have of everyone jumping onto their feet and standing out in the aisle as soon as the plane lands, that's going to have to come to an end.
So it'll be stay in your seat until you are called, that sort of thing.
Coming off in small groups and socially distanced in the airports. Lots of questions about how the different airports are going to handle this. Dublin Airport has been marked out. There has been socially, everybody's familiar with them from shopping. so that people will stay apart as they approach the gate, and obviously things like air bridges.
Yeah. And in the terminal, will you have to wear a mask as well?
A mask in terminal is not mandatory as we speak, but I do expect that to be either the advice or the regulation. Masks, as you know, are controversial. You've had them well discussed in your programme because there are different positions on it, particularly from the World Health Organization and from the local health authorities. There will be situations where people, for medical reasons, will not wear masks. And obviously for small children, masks are an issue as well.
OK, so the experience of flying is going to be a different one. The middle seat, will it be filled or not?
Middle seat filled, that debate is pretty much over. It raged in Asia at the beginning of the return to flying, and most of the world's aviation industry is looking at what happened in Asia for guidance. They have about 70% of the fleet back in the sky, but load factors are low. But the only two countries that that have kept the middle seat clear are Indonesia and Malaysia. China, interestingly, has not, and some of the regime, the people who were very strict on COVID, have not. One of the reasons for this is that social distancing on a flight is accepted as not possible, not just for the economic reasons that the aviation industry have been filling our ears with, but also the conditions on an aircraft are quite healthy. The air filtration, the HEPA filtration systems circulate air every 3 minutes. So it means that you're dealing with something about nine times what's in a hospital operating theatre level of cleanliness. The real issue then is when you get out of that environment. But the prospects of contracting infection on an aircraft from the ECDC and people like that, they've played it down. I'm not sure it's absolutely zero, but they've certainly said that it's not a risk zone that the risk zones will appear elsewhere on the journey.
Now, the cleaning of the aircraft, are we kind of at the mercy of Ryanair and Aer Lingus and British Airways, whoever we're using out of Ireland, to do a deep clean? Is it once a day or between every flight?
A little bit of controversy here. Overnight deep clean. They say that the possibility of the turnaround, and the turnaround is central to Ryanair, 25-minute turnaround, is not going to involve a deep clean. It's going to involve the use of what's the opposite of a deep clean, a shallow clean or a clean that isn't deep, using new measurements and new chemicals. Getting the aircraft deep cleaned. The aircraft were deep cleaned anyway. Something that you've got to remember, listeners have got to remember, is when you're in the global business of flying people around, the prospect of infection, norovirus, all of those things are always there in the background. So one of the things aviation doesn't want is Ebola is a far bigger killer than coronavirus in proportion terms. So they're dealing with the risk of infection from conditions all the time. Passengers will have seen their aircraft sprayed for mosquitoes, things like that. So dealing with the possibility of infection is something they do anyway. But the deep clean is going to be overnight, and during the turnarounds, during the day, it won't be a deep clean.
It'll be a fog, one presumes, just sprayed over the seats. One hopes, anyway. I'll give you some of the questions. By the way, Italy, France, Spain, opening up, but will people face interrogation at airports and temperature checks?
It varies from country to country, but the key date here, D-Day for Europe, is June 15. The borders are opening, and the places that do have interrogation, at the moment, Germany, Switzerland, are removing them. There will definitely be checks and forms to say, have you suffered high temperature? And some of the airports are doing the thermal measurement devices. The people will have seen them on television. Some controversy as to how accurate they are and all of that. There are some airports, Helsinki and Vienna are two examples, where people at the moment are not being allowed to board, for instance, a transfer flight, by doing not just a temperature check, but a full coronavirus check, and they've been charged $190 for the privilege. All of those things will be vary from airport to airport. But the key date, two key dates, June the 15th, European borders reopen, and July the 1st, aircraft are turning to the skies. Ryanair led the way. They said July the 1st, we're going back in the sky. Almost every airline in Europe and North America is following them. All those okay. services that we're used to out of Dublin will be coming in the week after July the 1st.
Now, and many comments around the same and questions around the same issue. My daughter booked a Ryanair flight to Spain for the end of June. The flight is going, her hotel cancelled, and we are further than 20k from the airport. Anyway, she'd prefer not to go. Does she have any entitlement to a flight refund, even though the flight is flying? Another one, what are my rights if the Ryanair flight I booked for July is running, but I don't want to fly due to COVID fears, plus the fact it's not an essential journey? That's from Eamon in Dublin. But that kind of query is echoed. So you've no rights, really, if the flight is flying, do you?
No, you're treated as a no-show. The getting to the airport, a little bit more clarity on that. Once the Gardaí are happy that you have a ticket and a booking and you're on your way to Dublin Airport from any part of the country, you'll be waved through. They don't query. Some airlines are querying whether it's a necessary journey. A KLM, for example, are stopping people in the airport and saying, is your journey necessary? I expect that to have cleared up by July. Ireland obviously has the quarantine issue, which has been well debated, and that comes up for review on the June the 18th. If it isn't abolished then, it'll certainly be gone by August the 10th, unless we have a mishap along the way. But back to this core question, it's a contract with the airline. If you decide not to fly, you've broken the contract. If they cancel the flight, they've broken the contract. It's their business to get you to where you want to go or get you your money back. But if you decide you don't have those rights, the problem with tying in the hotel, if you've independently booked your flight and your hotel, you've no comeback. Back
no
to the
comeback.
If you have a package okay. with the hotel and the flight, you do.
A final one here from this listener. I had a flight to Oslo in April with KLM, but they're only offering me a voucher. I want the cash. What can I do?
The law still stands that you're entitled to the cash. Most airlines in Europe are saying you have a voucher for 12 months, not the 6 months that the Department of Transport are saying, and you get the cash at the end of it. Some other airlines are saying 2 years. What will happen is the cash will be refunded. But there's another really important thing. And Ryanair and Aer Lingus are both paying out refunds. But it's a very slow process because of the volume of refunds they're facing. Normally, Ryanair would face 10,000 refunds a month. They're now facing 10 million refunds a month. And their staff dealing with this are socially distanced. If you look for a change or a voucher, the computer processes it. If you're looking for a refund, audit, money laundering, all of that comes into play. A human has to look at it, and there's a shortage of humans to look at these things.
Eoin Corrie, editor of Air and Travel magazine, thank you very much.